Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, today celebrates the greatest life-changing day in history. Amen. And I grew up going to Israel as a missionary throughout my whole teen years, and one of my favorite memories was spending Passover in Jerusalem. But what I will say is it is the coldest, dampest weather in Passover, and we were not prepared, and we were literally wrapped in our towels and blankets walking around the old city of Jerusalem because we were not prepared. You think it's like going to be sunny because it's Israel, but it wasn't at all. It was rainy and cold. But it was amazing because we got to experience the Passover where it happened. And so that's my background with this day, and I just love how Jesus fulfilled the Passover story. Amen. If you don't know that, you can talk to a pastor. We'd love to share more about what that really means because it brings so much richness to this day. But whether this is your 17th Sunday in church this year, I did count. So if you've been coming every Sunday, apparently it's the 17th one. I've never done that before from January 1st. Or maybe it's your first Sunday since Christmas, or it's your first Sunday ever in church. We just want to welcome you this morning, and we do hope to connect with you more after. But I just want to honor the painters, especially, and Holly, who I think has now gone to be with the kids. But Holly, what you might not know is Holly and I used to run a dance school together about 20 years ago. And she's a part of our family through God. And so she just recently started attending here. So give her some love after service as she poured her giftings out in our community. So today's message theme is called Resurrection Hunters. Can everyone say Resurrection Hunters?
Resurrection Hunters.
All right. I know it's warm in here, but I think we're all warm. I don't think it's just me this time. Trying to dress like summer, even if it isn't. So if it gets too hot, just fan yourself, and then we'll turn the heat down. But resurrection isn't just an event. It's a life-changing power for today. Amen? We're all searching for purpose, peace, and healing, but often in the wrong places. And true life starts with Jesus at the cross, but the cross was just the beginning. Amen? And so I know I've said this before, but this would be very odd, but I wish we could have an empty tomb on the stage, which, don't worry, because, you can't have the empty tomb without the cross, so it's very appropriate to have a cross, but man, I wish we could have at least both, because it doesn't end at the cross, it just starts, amen? And so as we're worshiping, over the next few weeks, and you notice the cross, because it is a very large cross, and it is very secure to that wall, I will tell you, just remember that Jesus is no longer there. Amen. Amen. It's just the doorway that we walk through to receive the amazing grace that Pastor Pat talked about. So let's review the story of Jesus leading up to today's resurrection morning, if anyone doesn't know it, and she actually kind of did this already. But Jesus told his disciples that he would be crucified, but they had a really bad memory. Anyone have some bad, they needed, what is it, the omega-3s back then? They were fishermen. They should have had all the omega-3s. I don't know what was going on. But one of the 12, Judas, betrayed Jesus, right? And then the Last Supper and the First Communion happened as part of Passover. And then Jesus prayed in the garden and he sweat blood as he said, "Your will, not mine," right? And the disciples fell asleep. How would you like to be known as the one that fell asleep in this story? Oh my goodness, have you ever been embarrassed? I don't think anyone could be as embarrassed as these disciples, but it didn't stop them. So if you've ever been embarrassed, they went on to change the world with Jesus. So don't let it stop you if you've ever had an embarrassing moment, all right? But gosh, so they fell asleep. And then Jesus is betrayed by Judas and he's arrested. And then he's sentenced to hang as a criminal, even though he did nothing wrong. Can we just honor that story right now? It's not made up. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. And it happened for you and me. Jesus was mocked, he was taunted, he was stripped, he was scourged, and a crown of thorns was put on his head. He was whipped, he was beaten, and he was nailed to a cross, and everybody mocked him. I just looked up one part of this process, and it's the Roman scourging, as I think that's how you say it, as described by a doctor. It says the severe blows to the chest and ribs would result in the bones being broken and bruised and even ripped out during the process. which would in turn cause excruciating pain every time the victim attempted to take a breath. That's just one part of what we are honoring this morning. Let's not discount the sacrifice he made. Amen? Let's honor Jesus. So our theme verse for this month is Luke 24, verse 4 through 6. I don't know if the lights actually got turned up. Maybe we could turn them up a little bit so we can read our Bibles this morning. But the theme verse is, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." Remember how he told you. So some of us today have been looking for life among the dead. And that's kind of why we did the lost and the found. And coming up over the next couple months, we're going to kind of focus in on our testimonies and what God is doing in our lives individually and together. But have you ever looked for life on the lost canvas, right? Who's spent a lifetime looking for life on the lost canvas? And you didn't know there was a found canvas to be found, right? And so today, if you don't get anything else, as you're walking out, first of all, add your lost. It's anonymous unless someone watches you write it, right? You got to be discreet when you're writing it. But write your lost down and then write your found. And if you don't have a found yet, just go over and look at what's possible. Because I guarantee that if it's possible for one of us, it's possible for one of you, right? If it's possible for someone over here, it's possible for someone over here. Jesus is unconditional in how he pours out his love and his mercy. Amen? Isn't that just so grateful this morning? So we're going to unpack what resurrection hunter means. Was anyone else confused by the title? I had a couple really weird looks. And the resurrection hunter, that exact phrase came from a prayer seminar we actually had here a couple months ago. And the guy was talking about prayer, and he was, I don't even remember the context, but he said resurrection hunter, and it just like came out. You don't hear that? I think that's just the new heater. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the new heater. All right. I just want to make sure. And he said resurrection hunter, and I knew that was going to be our thing, but I didn't know what it meant either. I was like, we better think about this. What does this actually mean? So let's unpack it this morning. And what I hope each of us will realize is that death is not hunting you. Resurrection is. All right? And the question to walk away from with this morning is, do you actually believe that the resurrection power of God is pursuing you more than death in every area of your life? All right? So now we can go home. We can have whatever meal we're having. But let's unpack it a little bit more. So that word hunter, outside of the obvious hunters that, you know, we got a lot of hunters in here, but we're not talking about that kind of hunting, all right? Want to make sure we clear the air there. But that word hunter also means someone who seeks, pursues, or looks for something. This is a bit of a random definition, but I thought it did apply. It's also a breed of horse. Just go with me. But I love this because it's developed for stamina in fox hunting and its ability to jump obstacles. How many know that when resurrection is pursuing you, it's jumping obstacles? Anybody know that? How many have had some obstacles that Jesus has jumped and blasted through to get to you this morning? Amen? And so Jesus is the ultimate resurrection hunter. Amen? So let's unpack this with the story of Zacchaeus this morning, and then don't worry, we will end up at the cross. But how many know there were a couple people that climbed a tree or were put on a tree around the story? Right? So here we go. We're in Luke 19. We're going to stay here for just a minute. So if you want to get your Bibles out, we are going to read through this story together. I'm going to read most of the story this morning. So we're going to have a little story time. Pretend we're in Next Gen. All right. Luke 19, verse 1 through 10, I think is what we're going to do here. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus. How many know the song? Zacchaeus was a wee. Oh, what did I do? All right. Beautiful, beautiful. I need my conductor. Cut, cut, cut. Tap, tap, tap. All right. Isn't that great, though? It does help you remember, for better or for worse, right? Here we go. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. How many know chief tax collectors were not loved? If you think tax collectors are loved today, it was even worse back then. And if you're a tax collector here, you work for, that's, God bless you, we're all good here. But generally, they're not the most loved in society, right? And he was rich. Thank you. I appreciate that. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able to because of the crowd, because he was a short man. Have you ever tried to get to Jesus in your life and you feel like, you know what? I just wasn't designed to reach him. What I've been through in my life is just preventing me from actually getting to him. Have you ever felt that? That's what he felt. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Since he was about to pass that way, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." I just want you to know, today it is necessary for Jesus to encounter your heart. It is necessary. Amen? So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain. Ooh, let's not be the complainers when someone in our community encounters Jesus like this. "He's gone to stay with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I will pay back four times as much." That's why tax collectors were hated so much back then, because that's what they did. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." And Jesus told him, "Because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Amen? Today salvation has come to this house. As I said, our mission and our vision statement is thriving homes transform cities. How many know a thriving home or a thriving house starts with Jesus saying, "Today salvation has come to your house"? It's not a physical house. That's great if we can bless the house, but we are houses for God. We are the home of God on earth. Amen? So if that's what you need to get on Easter, just know today salvation has come to you. Jesus found Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus welcomed him into his home, surrendered his life, and salvation came to his house. And so we're going to look at Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek to save that which is lost." We're going to unpack that just real briefly. So Jesus came for the lost. Say, "I once was lost, but now I'm found," right? I know that was a very long statement to say. We're just talking this morning. We're starting with the last word, because have you ever tried to help someone who's lost, but they don't know it? On occasion it works, but mostly it doesn't, because I cannot work on your problem more than you are, right? Jesus can, right? But I cannot work on your problem more than you are. And so when I'm lost, it's very hard to convince me that I'm lost, right? It takes an intervention from Jesus mostly, right? And so we're going to start with Jesus came for the lost. Let's look at what that word means. That word in Greek means to destroy, to perish, to lose, to kill, and the resultant death being viewed as certain. How many know that death was certain for you and me? It was certain. This wasn't a debate. This wasn't like it might be a side effect of the medication. It is certain. Amen? I wish the word lost was a little more strong in our English, because it's a little bit of a fluffy word put in here. But we can't earn it. Nothing is bigger than the cross, right? And what's interesting is Jesus was no stranger to this word. This was really fascinating. It's actually used in Matthew 2, verse 13 through 15. I'll just read this quickly, and I'll say Merry Christmas before I do. "When the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" That word right there, to destroy him. "So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.'" How many know out of Egypt, God has called you and me? Out of slavery and bondage, God has called us. Amen? But what I love about this is before Jesus was the resurrection on the other side of the empty tomb, death pursued him too.
Amen.
Right? Destruction pursued him too. And so he knows what it's like to have death being in pursuit. But just like Jesus, we are called out of Egypt to freedom, right? Once you are saved, your story is not just surviving death. Does anyone have a life season, and maybe you're here today and you just feel like you're surviving death in an area of your life? Maybe it's your whole life, or maybe it's just an area, but you just feel like you're surviving death. But Jesus came so that you could thrive, right? It's more than a name, and it's more than a photo thing back there that we tried our best on, right? It is the gospel of Jesus. It's salvation has come to this house so we don't have to just survive, right? Do you have more faith that death is hunting you or God's resurrection is in your relationships, in your parenting, your finances, your health, your time? Do we have more faith in the brokenness or the resurrection power of Jesus moving? It doesn't mean that we stuff our emotions or ignore reality. It means that we let Jesus redefine our reality with his truth. And we give and we process with him, not against him, not alone. Amen? If I think that God's love and power are pursuing me more than death and brokenness and loss, it will change how I react, respond, and prioritize my life and my relationships. How many know that's true? It will change everything. How do we know that we think death is more pursuing us than God's resurrection life? Well, we just look at the resurrection story. We'll look for the living among the dead. We'll look for the lost and try to find ourselves in the lost instead of the found, right? We'll be hiding when we could be walking in victory, right? The disciples, they were all hunkered down together when they could have been walking in victory. And they won't believe the truth even when it's true. How many know the first preachers coming out of resurrection were women, right? And they came to the disciples, and then the disciples are like, what? Right? And so you can even be told what's true, but if you don't believe it, right? You can be lost, but if I tell you you're lost, if you don't believe it, right? Any area you are hiding in today, I want you to know Jesus is resurrected in that place. Amen? Any area you are looking for life in the lost canvas out there, whether it's addiction, it's dysfunction, it's the pain or trauma of your past, Jesus is resurrected. How many know the name of Jesus is stronger than anything written on that lost canvas? We don't worship the lost. We stand in the found. Amen?
Amen.
Any area you can't believe God's truth because you've been believing lies for so long, God is resurrected there. Right? At some point, Zacchaeus made a choice to believe that resurrection was possible for him. You can hear someone preach all day long on the resurrection power of God, but if you don't believe that it's actually possible for you, you'll have a very hard time receiving it. So I want to ask this question this morning. Do you believe that resurrection is possible for you in every area of your life? And most of us will have an area that we're like, well, I believe he can do this in this area, this in this area, but this little area, debatable, right? If we're really honest, it's debatable. But I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you this morning to think of the area where you've been debating with God whether it's possible for his resurrection power to transform, for his love to come in and to receive. And I want to encourage you to be brave this morning, to take a chance, to go to the empty tomb and to see that he's not on the lost, but he's on the found. Amen? Jesus came to find you. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost, right? So that word seek means to search for, to desire for, to strive after, to require, to demand, and to get to the bottom of the matter. That's helps word study, to get to the bottom of the matter. Jesus came to get to the bottom of the matters of your life. Isn't that good news? Jesus isn't here just for surface level conversation. I mean, it's great to talk like a friend with him, but he's not just here for this. He's here to get to the bottom of the matter of your life, with his salvation and his healing and his power. One other man that's part of the Easter story shows us this too. And I want to kind of land here. This is my favorite hero in the I don't know if you call me hero, character in the story of Jesus, other than Jesus on resurrection. It says, one of the criminals who were hanging there said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other responded, rebuking him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong." I was watching a testimony video last night that was so powerful, and this girl had done all these things in her life, and in the end, she felt like she was worth dying. She had caused so much harm, she didn't even want to live, and she ended up getting an injury in her brain, and she ended up getting seizures, and she just wanted to die because she was saying, "I deserve what I have done. I deserve pain. I deserve brokenness." And some of us are here today saying, "But I deserve what I'm going through." But just like Amazing Grace, we can receive what we don't deserve. Amen? And by the end of the testimony video, God had healed her of her brain injury and her seizures. And she hadn't been able to have kids. And by the end, she had a child. And it was incredible. I was just watching this service online that my husband and I do. How many know it's good for the pastor to go to church together, right? And then be the church together as well. And so I just was watching this, and by then I'm like crying, and I'm like, they didn't warn me, right? It's not a church service in the U.S. And I was like, if it had been in the U.S., they would have said like sensitive content or something, right? I'm like, what is this? But how many know when you get what you don't deserve, if it doesn't move you, then maybe you need to be moved by God a little bit, right? And so it was a good moving. But it said, we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I love this because really, one of the first actions of Jesus after his death, or the promise, right, was to save someone who may not have even known Jesus existed moments before. Maybe he'd heard of Jesus, but he certainly had not become a follower of Jesus, or he wouldn't be hanging there next to the cross, right, on a similar cross. But with his last breath, that thief repented, he turned from his ways, and he said, "Jesus, I recognize you for who you are." Some of us have stopped recognizing Jesus as our Savior. And today is a good day to say, "Jesus, be my Savior again. I remember who you are. Remember who I am." And the good news is Jesus never forgets who we are, right? But I love that Jesus' resurrection was hunting him more than death. This thief was on his last breaths, and resurrection power was hunting him more than death itself. You cannot tell me that anything in your life is preventing God's resurrection love and power from reaching you this morning. Even on your last dying breath, it is not too late to receive Jesus. Isn't that good news? Whether that's good news for us or that's good news for a loved one that we've been praying for years and years, we don't know. But what we do know is that God's resurrection power can reach us till the very last moment. Isn't that amazing? I'm so grateful. Who knows the missing person wall at Walmart? Anybody know that wall? Tell you what, that thing used to scare me when I was a child. I would go to dance and then we'd go to Walmart because there was a McDonald's. You get a McFlurry. It's very healthy for a dancer, very healthy for ballet. And there was this missing persons wall at Walmart. It's huge. And gosh, if you see it at our local Walmart, take a moment, pray, use it as a prayer wall. Amen. But it was very scary for a child to look at. And I just saw it the other day, and I thought of it again. But how many feel like you're just a missing persons picture on the wall in your life? You're just a missing persons picture, just waiting for someone to find you, right? And I think sometimes we can think that we're looking for Jesus more than he's found us, right? It's like, "Jesus, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you everywhere. I'm doing everything." And We need to realize he's already found us, right? And if the enemy can get you to believe that God hasn't found you, you will spend your entire life trying to find God and to earn his attention, when instead you could spend your entire life receiving the love of God and living from that place of security. See, the enemy can't hide you from God, but he can get you to believe that you're hidden. But there is no place that you can hide from God's love. And if you don't believe God is good or that he's loving, that's a scary thought. But it's so important that we rest in the character and the heart of God, not what maybe someone misrepresented to us or something from our past. But we know we are found in his love. Amen? Before you were looking for Jesus, you were found. Isn't that good? I know every testimony is like, I found Jesus, you know, wherever I found Jesus. You know, on our pastor thing, we have some from addiction, some from other pasts, as I found Jesus. But really, Jesus found me, and I finally caught up. His resurrection hunted me. It searched for me. It demanded me back from death. It is finished. I am found, and I realized it. Amen? That's the testimony of Jesus. We got to know that, because otherwise it sounds like my testimony is something I earned from God. I found God. I found. If your testimony sounds more like I, it might be time to surrender the eyes, right? It doesn't make Easter easier, right, with the I. I don't know. I think it's better with a cross. Keep the cross in Easter, the T, right? Don't make it easier. It wasn't an easy day for Jesus, but it was a glorious day, right, when he overcame death. Jesus came to find you. You are not a missing picture on the wall. And it's not like that in heaven either. You know, that's what I realized. I was like looking at heaven. I'm like, oh, you know, are there hallways in heaven? They're just missing pictures. And all the angels are like, send out the troops. We got to find them. Right? Where is the, I don't know. Like, we got to match it. No, you are found. There's no missing pictures. Now you might, God might be like, hey, she's missing from heaven. Let's go, like, let's go bring her in, right? But you're not missing. You are found. If we live our life like we're missing, it'll affect everything, because we'll try to earn attention from everywhere. It can break apart relationships. It can bring destruction into habits. Amen? It's so important. So my question is, where are you resting and being found by God today? And where are you striving to be found? Because there's an invitation today to realize you are found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. So let's just close here with Jesus came to save you. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can we just say save? It means to save, to rescue, to deliver, to heal, to preserve. Salvation and deliverance. It's the Greek word sozo, or tsozo. You cannot heal or rescue yourself. How many have tried? It's the most exhausting things. My gosh, I have been there. And you just loop and loop and loop and loop, right? And that's one of the reasons I'm so grateful for church. Because not because church is perfect, but because it's imperfect. And it'll drive you to your knees next to someone else that you maybe didn't want to be on your knees next to, right? And then you'll encounter God together, hopefully, and receive his salvation, his healing. But only Jesus is the Savior. But how many know we are invited to participate in that? Just like Pat said, Pastor Caleb, if he's going to receive a gift, he has to receive. And receiving looks different in different seasons. It takes bravery and courage when you're receiving the healing and the wholeness of God. You know, Brian and I, a couple years back, we were just at this broken place, and we were like, you know what? We have got to receive in a way we have never received before. And so we started getting some Christian counseling, and it changed our lives, because we needed to receive from God in a new way. And so I encourage you, keep receiving. How I received last season might look different than this season, and it might take different bravery. And I can tell you, I'm not the same person I was a few years ago, because I chose to receive different. It's one of the bravest things we can do, but it's how we thrive. Amen? Amen? Jesus didn't just come to save you from death for all eternity, but eternity starts now. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Can you just say have? Not you will have, but you have. How many know eternity starts now? We certainly do not experience the fullness of eternity right now, but it starts now through a relationship with Jesus. So I want to invite you to stand on your feet. You may have climbed a tree today to see Jesus, like Zacchaeus. You may have been nailed to one because of your past, like the thief on the cross. But God's resurrection is hunting you more than death this morning. And no matter what kind of tree you're on, Jesus came to get you off the tree, right? He's not on a tree. You don't have to be either. The tomb is empty. So is the cross, right? But I want to bless you this morning with a blessing of salvation, because ultimately that is what the cross and the empty tomb is all about. And when I say salvation, I don't mean praying the prayer of salvation, although I invite us to do that in a moment as well. But what I mean is that Greek word sozo. I want to bless you with Jesus rescuing, delivering, healing, preserving, and making you whole this Easter. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Isn't that incredible? And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can live in your marriage, can live in your habits, can live in every area, can live in your mind, your emotions, your mental health. It looks different. Don't compare to the person next to you. It's personal for you. Amen? So let's just close our eyes as we end here. And I want to invite you, if today you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Maybe you found that you are, no pun intended, living more on the lost than the found canvas. Maybe it's not your whole life, but maybe it's one area of it. And I want to invite you this morning to move over to the I am found in Jesus through amazing grace. So if that's you this morning, whether you're rededicating or saying it for the first time, can we just raise our hands here? And I just want to pray a blessing over you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Can we just all say this prayer together? Jesus, be my Savior. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for finding me. Make your home in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I just bless you with peace, not as the world gives. I bless you with strength in your weakness. I bless you with God's forgiveness in every wrong. I bless you with the healing of Jesus in your brokenheartedness. I bless you with comfort as you mourn. I bless you with joy straight from heaven and not from your circumstances. I bless you with amazing grace for every need that you have. And I bless you with the resurrection power of Jesus, the same that rose him from the ground in your body. God, we thank you that Easter can happen every day for us, that you fulfilled Passover so we could live on the other side of the empty tomb. And Father, I ask that your resurrection power right now would fill every area of our life. Father, where we have built habits, where we have built mindsets around being more lost than found. Some of us have found our identity in being lost. And we don't even know what it would be like to live being found. And God, I thank you that you are going to show us, you're going to walk with us through this process every day of resurrection, of living in our identity in Christ and finding more worth in you than anything else, negative or positive in our life. And we honor your sacrifice in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.